Hello and welcome to the second episode of the brand new Youtini Show, formerly known as the Living Force Podcast. If you want to get the full experience, head on over to the Youtini YouTube channel where you can see our brand new setup as we discuss the rise of some of our favorite films, the prequels. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad we're back. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Youtini Show, episode 2-1? Was last one 0? I don't know. But you're here now, and I'm Eric here with Corey, Charles, and Wes, and tonight we are talking all about something that we all love dearly, something that we all share in our heart of hearts. It is the Star Wars prequels, a.k.a. The movies that have been through the ringer of being absolutely despised and then loved beyond belief by hundreds of thousands of people. Hi, guys.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Doing good, doing well.
Doing real good.
Hi, Wesley. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm glad to see you.
We are talking about this tonight because Eric, you and I worked on a video this week all about the prequels. I had no idea how this episode is going to release in relation to that video, but
it's in the ether.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the title. We're just going to give everything away. That's fine.
Why not?
That's fine.
Hey, hey, if you're watching a 45-minute podcast instead of a 10-minute YouTube video, we're going to give you all the dirt.
We're only like a minute in, but still.
Stay tuned to the end for all the actual content.
I think the working title we have right now for this video is How My Generation Saved the Prequels.
Absolutely, because your generation ruined it, viewer. I'm just kidding. Stay here. You're a fifth member. You're a fifth.
Yes, and we got to talk a lot about the prequels this week, and man, those movies have been through the ringer because in a lot of ways they're objectively bad. But also, hold on. Our attitude has changed about the movies.
Yeah. Everybody's attitude has changed about the movies. So.
There's notes. There's notes.
Let the man speak.
Let him cook.
As the kids say these days.
Oh, no.
What about that moment in Rogue One where they're like, why is she proposing? Let him cook. Let him cook.
But still in that weird throaty voice.
For Bill Organa's like, I would trust her with my life. Let him cook! Actually, that's more like the Lars family. Let him cook! Anyway.
He also says, everybody uses giving now. It's giving.
Yes, it's giving.
It's giving.
Yeah, the prequels are giving redemption.
It's giving hope!
It's giving hope. The Gen Z-ification of the prequels. It is interesting, though, because, like, so, and also a little more history, too. One of the reasons we wanted to do this video is because possibly this week when this is released, or recently, the Living Force book is being released by Judge Jackson Miller. The name of our own podcast.
Hold on a second. We haven't.
After
we stopped producing The Living Force, they named a book Star Wars canon that that we would have reviewed because we had roundtables and everything.
Yep.
They named it literally the name of the show.
Which admittedly we took from the Star Wars itself. But you know.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly. And they named that a book. And they don't care about us.
No.
You know, they didn't care about us. But some of the people that are involved in that stuff, they participate in
Tom, who edited the book, is on our Discord server. He's been on the show. We talked to John Jackson Miller on the show.
There's at least one person that was involved in that conversation that has heard of our show.
There was an email. That was like, hey, this is the title. But like,
I know.
Remember those weird guys?
I know.
It's not
I know.
About
like,
them.
It pinged somewhere in someone's head that was like, huh.
Yes.
Huh. I will say as a recording, I'm not breaking any embargo. I'm reading the book. I am on alert for a group of just four dudes.
If they do that,
I haven't found it yet.
Just literally four guys.
Just four dudes.
Doesn't matter what their names are.
Listen, we had a scare, Eric. There was a scare with you.
There
was a scare. Keep an eye out.
Yep.
Four dudes. That would be fantastic.
For like Bess, Kenjins, and like... I'll say Hori Kelton.
I mean, maybe.
I'll answer to that.
It's a Nar Shaddaa all of a sudden.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that book got announced. One, the name of our show. Two, an era that we all quite
absolutely
vocally
love.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking of like, okay, the prequels, it's 25th year of Phantom Menace right now. When we went to Celebration in 2022, the prequels were a huge deal. All the panels were good. And I was like, wait a minute. how in the world did this happen? Because everyone assumes they're loved now, and they were hated.
Absolutely despised. And there was the interview with Jake Lloyd's mom last week.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see this?
I saw something about that he's doing pretty well.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. I don't know that.
Clayton Sandel interviewed him. He used to be officially working for Star Wars, and now he's just a news guy. Anyways, Clayton.
That sounds like a made up name.
Interviewed his mom.
Interviewed his mom.
When you're trying to think of like an alibi, where like as a kid you did something wrong, and she was just like, "Where have you been? I was with Clayton Sandel." No offense, I'm sure Clayton Sandel is great. Yeah.
He's a really good person. Anyway, he interviewed Jake Lloyd's mom, mm-hmm. and they kind of talked about
who played Anakin in Phantom Menace,
right?
I mean, no.
And Wes, you didn't hear about this?
No, I didn't. I just pulled it up right this second.
Yeah. As most child stars, he was not doing well.
Diagnosed schizophrenic,
yep.
which is highly familial and genetic, as
yes.
we well understand. And
yep.
the medical sciences.
Yeah, which he also pointed out a bunch of times.
You got some of those journals, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I've heard of them.
That's right.
Tell us about your medical journals. I'm sure we're very excited about it.
Are you published?
In what respect?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
I've been,
like in Hustler? Or
I've,
like...
been, I've been published in Utini Magazine on a number of occasions.
Oh, my God.
Right,
that's right.
Fair.
But, you know, his mom... Because his mom actually... That was one of the things I actually liked about the article was that I think there was this thing around for a lot of times that, like, Star Wars fans broke Jade Lloyd's brain.
Yeah.
Like... Well. And like the harassment he did receive as
true.
A 10-year-old,
he did receive it. Everybody did. All
yes.
of them did.
Oh, brutally.
Yeah.
Ahmed Best. Yep. Suicidal.
Yeah. Yep. Hayden Christensen literally left like show business essentially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Jake Lloyd went through a lot of issues when he was younger and as a teenager, and people assumed his mental illness was caused by harassment, and she did, thankfully, as you said, no. He did have these schizophrenic markers.
So can I ask something quickly?
Yeah.
Because I don't think we've ever had this point in the discussion, but do you think that the movies...
Justified bullying a 10-year-old?
No. No. Viewers? No. Do you think that an aspect of it was that it was literally like at the time where the internet was taking off?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Like, because people didn't understand the power. Like, obviously now, like, it's well understood, like, cyberbullying, like, all this stuff has very real, like, tangible consequences.
Yep.
At the time, people were just writing stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just
unplug the modem.
Yeah. And there was anonymity. There was no, like,
yep.
you know, figuring out who said
yep.
this. And
yeah, they
no
didn't, consequences. They didn't warn that. They didn't warn Jake, right?
Yeah.
Like, but Daisy Ridley was like, they warned me.
Yes. They had a meeting. And, like,
How do you warn a 10-year-old that he's going to get, like,
I don't know.
Destroyed?
I wonder what that conversation would look
well,
like,
they didn't
with,
know.
Like with Child Leia in the Kenobi show.
Oh, yeah. Vivian something, I think. But,
yeah.
Well, I think with Jake Lloyd, it was interesting because. I one of the things I say in the video, actually, is our generation is the last generation to have grown up both on and offline. Like all kids now, you grow up online.
To be clear, we're all millennials, but we're not talking about this in the context of age, truly.
No,
like,
I know. But
when we titled the video "My Generation Saved the Prequels," we're not taking any ownership about that. It's really like just a ploy on we grew up. And the prequels improved.
Yes.
That's what it's really about.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah. But I think the interesting thing about like that era when they came out, though, is that everyone, whether you were a kid seeing them or adult seeing them, was still getting used to the internet, like you're saying, Charles. Like, you, whether or not you knew it would affect someone, no one ever thought, I think, that Jake Lloyd would see the messages you wrote or that Hayden Christensen would see these message boards. And they're like, oh, I'm just saying this thing. And there's not a human that's going to actually be affected by this. And nowadays, we know, like, I mean, people like Kim will make bits out of it with celebrities read mean tweets and stuff, but you know that what you say online, these human beings will probably see.
Yeah. And there's the other thing, too, that we talked about in last week's episode about how, like, surrounding yourself with positivity is something that can help you enjoy the experience of being part of a fandom. And the opposite also applies too, right? You get into the wrong areas and it can really bring you down, destroy your experience. And it used to be like you would go see a movie and you just sat with your feelings on that movie until you got to school on Monday and like talked to your friends who also saw it like at the lunch table. And now it's like as soon as you see something, before you see it, you're reading like, what's the Rotten Tomato score? Yeah. What's this? What's that? And there's so many like just...
Gotta log in on Letterboxd.
Yeah, you like just can't go in and have an experience.
It's true.
It's strange. I don't like that.
Yeah, they're trying to sway your reaction one way or the other.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to have your own, like, have your own opinion about the movie, right?
I'm afraid unless
you completely, you know, cut off social media, which we like to do before we see a movie or premiere. So,
right,
and it's sad. That's the days of AOL, America Online, AOL Instant Messenger, 1999. That's
where the disc. I remember the disc.
The millions of discs.
Yes, the millions of discs.
250 free hours.
They mailed discs.
What?
There's so many of this disc in the mail.
What was your guys' AIM name? Mine was Mr. Dorky Dude.
I had highly conservative parents didn't allow that.
I had one, but
that's a very long name.
I had one, but I don't remember what it was.
Wow, Wes, do you have a name?
I think mine was like Prodigy something.
Prodigy?
Wow.
That's a good name. That was my username and
stuff. Pretty low self-esteem, huh?
That's like a Twitch streamer name nowadays.
Yeah, dude,
like,
that's a gamer tag, bro.
Yeah, that's Prodigy. In StarCraft, when I played StarCraft. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no,
StarCraft, that's a fandom we could get into. I didn't think you were into StarCraft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how serious of a StarCraft player were you?
I was big time into StarCraft.
You could say they called him the Prodigy.
Are you talking StarCraft 2?
No, sir. The original.
Oh, gee.
The original. Yes. Wow.
I'm not the original when it came out. So, like, in big box form, opened it up. Had Velcro on it. Yeah.
Velcro.
I remember my parents.
I love those.
My parents bought me the expansion set, StarCraft Brood Wars, and I didn't even have the original game. And I was like, I can't play it. I can't play this damn thing because I don't have the original game. That's what it used to be.
Damn it, Mom. I can't play this damn game. What the hell is wrong? Thanks for this gift, you idiot.
Is that how it works? I did not know that you were into StarCraft. That is like, well, that's like one of the... Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. I like that.
I have a friend that works for Blizzard right now.
I went through a brief StarCraft phase, but it was a little before my time. I'm not going to lie.
Can I tell you guys a little story about AIM real quick?
Yes, please.
So when I was in elementary school... when Wes was getting his master's, there was a girl that I liked.
The Wes being old jokes are relatively new, I have to say,
and I'm loving them.
I'm digging them.
I used to just praise Wes, and now I've completely 180'd to be.
Tearing him down.
Oh, Wes, you'll appreciate it. This is my heel turn, where I am now just completely calling you old.
It means we like you too much. That's the problem.
I'll be laughing.
You should have kept it a little more neutral and professional.
I'll be laughing my full head of hair off whenever y'all's falls out. So
no,
it's so true.
30-year-olds.
It's so, everyone. If you have met Wes in person, it's thick too. Like, it's a glorious head of hair you got.
Yeah, good hair, Wes. Good hair.
So I was in elementary school with normal hair, and there's this girl I liked, and I wanted to get her like MSN AIM name. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I pretended to get everyone in the classes. I had a Palm Pilot at the time.
Jesus, yeah. Rich kid.
No,
yeah, you did.
Oh, I mean, yeah, my
Palm Pilot.
Oh yeah,
Jesus.
It was my dad's hand me down. And I was like, hey guys, I have this cool thing. So we didn't have cell phones,
yeah,
so I'm like,
right.
Put your name and your MSN number. So I got like 30 kids I did not care at all about just to get this one girl's MSN name.
Wow.
And
it's a long game. I respect that.
Yeah, it didn't work, but it was a fun experiment.
She didn't give you her
no,
name.
She did, but she never responded. I was like, cool, I'll get on AIM.
Shot.
Yep. Anyway, that was.
So internet story, because you guys know.
Wait, she still hasn't responded? Did you check?
Shit.
Oh my God, Wes, you're right.
Have you considered double messaging? Like, maybe try again right now. Let's see what happens.
Go on to AIM. Hey, just following up.
Just following up.
Just showing it 20 years later.
I realized you might have seen my first message. Ha ha.
I know I said I would BRB, but now I am B.
Wow, that hurts.
This was, though, the culture of when the prequels came out, though, was this getting AIM and dial-up internet.
At least
and,
with
like,
Phantom Menace. I mean, I don't even think we had real internet even when, by the time Revenge of the Sith had come out. I mean, because I grew up in the boonies, Appalachia,
yeah.
And we didn't even get, like, DSL internet until, like, I was, like, 7th or 8th grade.
Oh, my God.
And it was crazy. We just didn't have internet.
Yeah,
I mean, that's crazy to think about now.
Yeah, like, it didn't exist. It wasn't you buy it. Yes. It wasn't there.
There was no lines in the ground to bring internet to my town.
It
was too small and in the woods.
You had the Encyclopedia Britannica and old Hustler magazine. That was all you could do.
You also had the angry mob though in your town that was like had fire and pitchforks, and they were like, "Don't bring that magic into this town."
Exactly. There's a crazy old man with a straw hat, and he's like,
See, here's a question I have for you guys. When the prequels first came out, because I think it's interesting, Phantom Menace. Yeah, also, let's go Phantom Menace, because I do forget there were 3 years between each movie, which is also wild because there wasn't like shows between them. It was a movie, 3 years, a movie.
That's a lot of time.
3 years
discourse.
So let's go Phantom Menace. Did you know? I'll add Attack of the Clones in here as well, because I guess we're a little younger. Did you know people didn't like these movies when they were coming out?
No.
I think I had zero idea that people didn't obviously think they were better than
I actually had a sense, because I remember seeing Attack of the Clones with some older cousins of mine.
How much older?
They were teenagers, like 16, 17, 18.
Okay.
Probably age. And okay. Like, you know, I'm an impressionable kid, and they're like cool, right? Because they're older. Yeah. And I remember being so jacked.
They like jazz cigarettes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They played pool at the pool hall, you know, that type of thing.
Wow. Yeah.
Is that a thing? Can you still do that? Is there a pool
hall? Oh, for sure.
Les, no. You would know.
There are pool halls down the street from me, for sure. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure you're lying. Pool does not exist
anymore. That's right. Slick Willie's Family Pool Hall.
Real
pool hall, yeah.
Slick Willie's, can we unpack that for a second?
First of all, you can't be family anything and be named Slick Willie. Let's get that clear right now.
Listen, Mr. Williams, you need to change your establishment.
He tried Moist Williams, but that was a real thing.
I had to sit next to you for the rest of the show, and you said Moist Williams.
Oh God! Anyway, Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace.
I saw it. No, not Phantom Menace.
Show about the prequels.
I don't know.
You're the menace on this show, Mr. Moist Williams.
Slick Willies.
Moist Williams would definitely be a Jedi Council member.
Slick Willies.
Anyway,
who would be named that in Star Wars? Slick Willies.
Slick Willie.
Yario Poof.
Maybe.
No.
The Kaminoans.
What a dumb name. Like, Yario Poof, though, very normal. Yeah.
The Kaminoans.
The Kaminoans. Yeah.
Can you imagine Obi-Wan was just like, all right, Slick Willie.
Well, that's
our blunt tension,
why I'm here.
Yes.
To bet on Bill Pool. So anyway, so okay, you went with the cool, jazzy cousins of yours.
Yes, I went with older cousins of mine, and I loved the movie. I thought it was incredible. I wanted to see it, I'll see it again multiple times.
Yeah.
And I remember walking out of the theater, and they were just like giggling, and it was like I could tell like they didn't like it, and this sucks, and that was really dumb, and that kind of stuck with me actually. And for a long time, I was just like, I loved it still, but I felt like I had to keep a secret.
Yes, okay, that's exactly it. Is that I also as like, and this was as I got older, because I didn't have older cousins, well, period. But also anyone that I saw that didn't think it was awesome, like it was all kids in the playground that were like playing Pod Racer, the video game, and
yeah, sure.
And we thought Yoda flipping was awesome, like. Not a question. There were the old movies, and then there was Star Wars. Like, that's how it was on the playground. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older, there was that thing of like, oh, I'll keep it inside, and I will just talk about other stuff. And it got to the point where it stayed inside for so long that it completely disappeared.
Yeah.
And by the time I got to college, people were just like, oh, the prequels suck. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I never consciously decided to believe that.
I also had this sort of cultural thing, too, of being in the deep country
with the wizards that hated electricity.
Yeah, no, sorry. With the wizards and the, you know, anti-witchcraft and all that.
Right.
And like Star Wars wasn't really a thing, honestly,
mm-hmm.
like on the playground at all. Like there was like, yeah. I remember one kid, I remember he was a class above me and he had Phantom Menace pencils, pencil packs.
Yeah.
Maybe themed.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And he had these Phantom Menace pencils. And I remember he had a birthday party that was kind of had some Star Wars themed because they were, you know, broke and like they had different themes, right?
Why don't we go to breweries now and we could have themed birthday parties again?
That's so lame. That's a good question, actually. I would have a Star Wars themed kids party.
I'm going to do it.
Do that.
100%. I'm going to do it. Anyway, this kid had, he had like the pencil pack and I was like, ooh, he's a Star Wars fan. He likes it.
And I remember asking him about it, but he was like all shy and weird about it. Like, so I didn't think it was acceptable.
Did you pick his
Star
nose?
Wars, literally all the way until college. Did he pick his nose? Probably.
Who didn't? Come on now.
Okay.
Be real. Be human.
I mean, I still do. I'm just asking.
Good.
finding a fellow compatriot,
a fellow gold digger, as you will.
That's right,
if you will. But yeah, you had to keep it. You had to keep it secret. Keep
just
it safe.
Safe. Yeah.
You had to. I feel like that for the longest time. I mean, I had a, Star Wars, like MMO background that was like concept art for the game.
Yeah.
When I was in like the 9th or 10th.
On your computer?
Grade. Yeah, 10th or 11th grade in high school, mm-hmm. And I photoshopped out the Star Wars logo of it.
Wow, because you didn't want anyone to see it?
Yeah, because it was not socially acceptable at all.
You liked it enough to make it your background, but then you photoshopped out.
Well, then Old Republic. Because
I knew Charles.
Yeah.
I knew what it was.
I think some other people knew too.
Is that a lightsaber?
No.
That's the laser sword.
Yeah.
It's different.
He just snaps his computer shut anytime he walked by. It's like, no, what are you talking about?
What are you looking at, Corey? Porn? Are you sure it wasn't Star Wars? No.
Oh God!
Basically,
but like, it was such an odd moment because there was that thing where like you couldn't find the communities. Like again, like if there's any ever a question why Corey started Utini, like all his background just all adds up to it.
Does,
which is so great. But
I was seeking the community. Truly, mm-hmm. I mean, like it's so cliche, but truly that's what it was.
Yeah.
I wanted Star Wars friends.
Yeah, and I think there's a moment like you said earlier, like. Yes, a little glibly, but like there are parts of the prequels that have. I have some notes. Acting is a great dialogue could be worked on, but I want to ask you guys specifically: was there a moment when you figured out, okay, I'm an adult now, I make my own decisions, I lived these as a kid, I see there's flaws, maybe, but I'm choosing to be a prequel kid again, or I'm choosing that I'm gonna love Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen? Like, was it a conscious choice, or did that just eventually be like, oh, I'm just doing that?
No, not conscious. I genuinely don't think I've ever gone a day in my life being like, this movie's bad. And that includes like Phantom Menace, which I think is most universally, you know, regarded as the worst of the three.
Yeah, Attack of the
right?
Clones.
Maybe Attack of the Clones. But yeah, I mean, I've just
how is that possible, Charles?
Not the bottom of my list. Always, though. I've just always loved them. Like they, I don't know. I think
how did nobody? Did you shield yourself from the?
I think I was lucky. I think I was lucky in that respect.
You're
where,
tall.
That's right. People listen to me. They just assume I know what I'm talking about because I'm tall.
You want to tell Charles he doesn't like something? This guy's 7'8", and you're gonna be like, I don't like Jar Jar.
No.
Like, nah.
I think.
He's not 7'8".
I think I did repress. Like bringing it up to a degree, like his, mm-hmm. you know, middle school kids are like ruthless, right? But
Oh, the worst.
I do think I was pretty lucky in terms of always having like someone around who like enjoyed it as much as me or
that's
what
awesome.
That might be. And so I never really felt like bullied. I've had like until now.
Charles.
I know. No, but I don't think I've ever gone a day. I don't think I've ever gone a day and genuinely thought in my heart of hearts that like this is a bad movie because it means too much.
Yeah.
And
Wes, what about you?
That's
you have a similar upbringing in some ways that I did. I feel like and
yes. So I am along the lines of you, Corey, and Charles. So whenever whenever I watched The Phantom Menace for the first time, that was the first time that I've seen a Star Wars movie.
After a shift at the coal mines.
Yes.
Wait.
completely all the way through. So I hadn't seen... I've seen bits and pieces of Empire Strikes Back, a little bit of Return of the Jedi. I don't think I had seen A New Hope, like, at all.
Wow. Did you know that Anakin was Vader? Like, did you know that was...
That confused me the most.
I bet it was.
That confused me the most. So I went there because I knew that my buddies across the street from me had the VHS set, so they had the original trilogy and VHS sets. They were watching it when I went over there. They said,
yes.
Oh, man, you know who's great? Boba Fett. Boba Fett is the man. And I'm like, who the fuck is Boba Fett?
He sounds confusing.
I bought movie tickets with them and I went and saw it, and I was just very, very confused. But I never heard any discourse, I never heard anything bad said about The Phantom Menace. And like when I really got into Star Wars was college for me back, you know, mm-hmm. 80, 90 years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
that the episode three was really when, that's when I skipped class. I saw the first showing that they were going to show like a Wednesday, or it's a Tuesday or Wednesday or something.
Yeah. Nice.
They came out on weird days. I learned in my research
to go back and see Revenge of the Sith again for the first time.
But I've never heard anything about the prequels being bad or good, because none of my friend circle ever watched Star Wars. Nobody talked about Star Wars. It's only when The Mandalorian came out and people like kind of got an inkling of how I had a Star Wars podcast, and people would poke fun at me. Like, when I say people, it's my friend circle I play softball with. They always mess with me or whatever. But then
it's your literal girlfriend. You can say it's a safe space.
But like, they pulled me aside and be like, "So did you like that new episode of The Mandalorian, or did you like that? You like the new movie of Star Wars?" And I'm like, "Yes, I did." And don't make fun of me about it, because you're making me feel bad, but not really. And it's kind of the same with pro wrestling. People make fun of people that watch pro wrestling, but regardless, I never really heard anything bad about Star Wars, because A, the people that I hung around with just never really watched Star Wars, and I had a big, you know, like sci-fi fandom background, and I really liked looking at StarCraft. That was a big
that was
a big point in my life for like 3 or 4 years, like growing up, but I never heard anything about it, A, like I said, because friend group that ever watched it, and B, because there just wasn't any, I didn't hear anything about it, because after The Phantom Menace, I mean, there was high school, and when I went to go see Attack of the Clones, that again, I didn't hear anything about it either, because nobody really watched it but me. I guess I had the wrong friends, pretty much, which are telling.
Yeah, but like,
yeah, throughout high school,
you didn't have the community. So how did?
Yeah.
I think that is a common experience for a lot of people. And how the hell did society just flip on this?
Well, because it has happened.
You're right. I would say relatively recently. In the last
5-10 years.
Yeah, 5-10 years. I would say.
Is it a mass exodus to a degree of people that really hated those and they just kind of fell off, and the people that remained
it's almost like a more controversial opinion to be like, oh yeah, Phantom Menace, that ruined Star Wars, that movie sucked.
Well, I think part of it too is, I think, becoming conscious of the whole internet thing and maybe, like, what you say has weight to it, if you will.
That didn't stop people from being a-holes with the movies, though.
I think it's two-pronged. I think, one, it's that a lot of the people that were kids when they came out that loved them without any issues, or the people like Wes that were in communities that, like, no one saw, so they loved it on a vacuum. Now we're all adults spending our money and being online. Like, we are the
driving
people.
The conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. These franchises in 2024 are driven by profit. So if you need to give merchandise and projects that we want to spend our money on, and we are the money spenders, and we are the people that wanted this as a kid, just like the folks that had all the Kenner toys from the original trilogy bought all the Phantom Menace tickets in the first place. So I think we have just become the bigger group. But also, I think there's a downside. I think the dark side is that a lot of those angry voices just took their reticles and put them on the sequels. I think that they now,
interesting,
like, only, they're like, wait a minute, I thought I hated this, but now I hate this, which both are
super hate.
Yeah, wait a minute, this is worse.
I don't know that it's necessarily, like, I wonder what the Venn diagram of people who hate the prequels and people who hate the sequels actually is, because I bet
it's pretty small. Most prequel fans, I think that they love the prequels and the sequels are not Star Wars.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say is, like, I think that in some ways, you would be like, oh, it's a circle. The Venn diagram is a circle. But I think, actually, there's probably a small overlap, actually, because it's just wild to me that people can look at the prequels. We're seeing the same thing happen again.
Yeah.
Like, the identical thing is happening. This isn't Star Wars. Star Wars is dead. Kathleen Kennedy killed Star Wars. They said that about George, the freaking creator of the film.
The like, People versus George Lucas was literally a documentary.
I watched that when I was in college. That's when I changed my mind, to answer your question from earlier. I watched that documentary, The People versus George Lucas, and I remember having a visceral reaction to that documentary. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-mm. I never watched
it. I've never seen it either.
No. You guys never seen it?
I've heard of it.
It's worth watching, actually. It's pretty well made. I've never had a visceral reaction to this, like, no, the people are wrong. These people are assholes. Why would they treat this guy like this? That was my reaction to that. And I was like, no, I like these movies. Screw you guys. I like these movies. Like, they're good. Like,
yeah.
I know the acting is bad, but, like, come on, have a little nuance about it. Have a little,
yeah,
a little more depth to your opinion. It's easy to be like, oh, Jar Jar is stupid because he's funny and lame. He has fart jokes. Like, so what?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, like, I don't love the fart joke when he's by the pod racer, but I also, like, enjoy the gungy and I think there's so much depth that could be created for it, and I think
it's fun to roll your eyes at how goofy it is.
Yeah.
Like, well, and it's also part of the movie-making experience.
One of the great things about the prequels, and where it shifted for me, where I became not the silent person, not the person that went along with things, but then shifted into, no, I actively enjoy this era for me. Because when I realized Star Wars was actually eras more than just movies, it's almost cliche to say now, but it was literally Clone Wars for me. It's like, I watched Clone Wars pretty late. I never watched it when it was on. So it got
animated TV show.
Animated TV show, yeah. So it got canceled after season 6. I didn't watch it live at all. I binged it afterwards, and I was like, oh my God.
Show was great.
I watched it
in college the first time, too. It was after I watched The People versus George Lucas that I...
Oh my God, amazing.
Truly. Like, yeah. It reignited. That movie pissed me off so much. It reignited my love for Star Wars.
And I was like, I realized what that show became for me, because some of the episodes aren't the best thing in the world, and now we're so obsessed with, like, is this episode tied to this, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I love spending my time in this world. And George created it. And I was like, when I was a kid, I played the Star Wars Obi-Wan game where you could play as all the Jedi Council members in the battle arena. And I loved Plo Koon because he looked cool. And it kind of started to tap me into those things of, like, I loved the Pod Racer game. And I loved Battlefront 2. And I loved my Jar Jar towel that I had. Like, all these things that were adjacent to the movies I loved. So why in the world do I not think that those movies are something I also enjoy? And then I would watch them with brand new eyes and be like, oh my God, that's Obi-Wan. Like, that's the Obi-Wan and Anakin that talk to Rex. I bet that's the Anakin that trains Ahsoka between these movies. Like, there's these... That's Felucia. I've seen Felucia. I know it now very well. Like, there's all of this stuff. And I think Star Wars is so beautiful in that way. And the prequels, I think, are weirdly maybe the most fleshed out era of all, because our generation got movies when we were young. Then we got cartoons. And we got video games. Like, the media followed us as we age. And I think that's why it's now just this amazing thing. Now, as an empathetic adults, we see Ewan and Hayden and Natalie, and we're like, we love you.
I find it a little hard to believe that we've all changed our mind. We four have certainly changed our mind about the prequels because of our intentions and nuance and things like that. But I find it hard to believe that the rest of society has sort of reacted that way. You know, I don't give society enough credit, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Because
that's fair.
Because I say that because I saw how they reacted to the sequels.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the characterization of Luke was slightly different than what they expected, so they hate it, right?
Yep.
So, like, how did society come around to it? You think it's just pure nostalgia? Is it as simple as that?
It might be. Like, a changing of the guard of what is nostalgia. Because nostalgia is the last 20, 30 years, right?
You remember it differently because you were a kid? Is that why?
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you're just so disenfranchised with what's happening now that things maybe weren't so bad before.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's, yeah, like the good old days kind of attitude. Yeah. So, do you think that's literally all it's going to take for the sequel trilogy to come back around is time? Is that literally it?
Well, it's,
could you take all the other variables out of the equation? It's just time?
I don't think so.
I think that is going to be a big driver. I do think that.
I wonder how long it's going to take.
Well, here's my issue with the sequel versus prequel thing. And this is interesting. And one of the reasons I kind of got out of the discourse, because you can kind of talk to some prequel people that don't like it. Like, okay, the dialogue, what would you change? You could have a kind of a productive conversation. I think the problem is that the prequels, this is my hot take, the leads were still like two white dudes. The sequels, the girl in charge, black man. There's Kelly Marie Tran. There's, like, a lot of the hate was based on identity politics that then filtered. Oh, I actually just hate Luke. It's like, I don't think he also, like, a girl with a lightsaber, though.
That's hard to say. So, I mean, it's hard to say.
Even if that's not all of it, there is a segment that is definitely that.
I would say that's certainly true. There's certainly a segment of Star Wars fans.
And, like, Kathleen Kennedy, I hate her. Like,
yeah.
No one knew Kathleen Kennedy's name. Well, outside of Hollywood, whatever, when the prequels were happening. She was still working for Lucasfilm. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't
also,
blame her.
Nobody has any idea what sort of role she actually has.
No!
Truly. We have no idea.
Absolutely.
No one has literally ever said, well, I actually changed the story because Kathy made me. No one has ever said that.
No.
That's never occurred. So
she's in the Google Doc being like, no, absolutely not. Nope. That's not X. Yeah. Make him milk it. He milks it. Milk it more. More milk. Milk, 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 milk.
Eric and I explicitly talked about the milking scene today when we reviewed
this. My favorite part about the milking scene is Mark Hamill. Last Jedi. Luke Skywalker milks the thing, pushes the nipple, gets a full thing of milk, and he drinks it, and he looks right at the eyeballs and goes, ah. He's doing a commercial for the milk.
It's disturbing.
It's so good.
It is disturbing. Also, it only took episode 2 for Eric to use the word nipple on the show.
That's right.
I just want to say.
We made it. That's like 200 episodes quicker than last time.
I also don't want to mistakenly put everybody in the camp, because I feel like, I do feel like a little bit, when we make too big of generalizations, I feel like we sort of run the risk of causing further divide in the fans. And I certainly agree. We all saw the way that Kelly Marie Tran was treated on Twitter. All have seen the really horrible YouTube thumbnails, the videos about, you know, Raise Mary Sue, and it's very misogynistic and sexist, and so a lot of it's racist. We saw how China treated
John Boyega
and Disney. We all saw that, right? There is obviously, you know, probably a small-ish minority compared to the
vocal minority.
Yes, there probably is a vocal minority of really awful, misogynistic, racist, horrible people. But I don't want to put everybody in that camp.
True.
If you dislike the sequels, it doesn't mean that you're a racist or misogynist.
Also, like, I think that's the key. Maybe that's the prequel difference, is that maybe there's people that are like, I don't like the prequels, but I still like Star Wars.
Yes.
And I can tell you that era, because there's stories in it. Because we are so lucky that the thing we love, Star Wars, keeps pumping out content in these time periods. So, like I said earlier, if you didn't like Phantom Menace, that's 3 years of your life, bro. Then you gotta wait to the next movie. Hopefully, it's good. If you don't like Rise of Skywalker, cool. Wait a month and Mando comes out. You know?
That's what I'm trying to say. I think if you are somehow listening to this, you've landed on this show, and you would consider yourself, maybe not even use strong language, as a sequel hater. Maybe you're just a sequel disliker.
They're at the bottom of your rankings.
Right, they're bottom of your rankings.
Sure.
I think I would challenge you to let that be the only opinion that you have about it. And instead say, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. There are lots of things I liked about these movies. There's some things I didn't like about these movies, but I'm still a huge Star Wars fan. I'm going to watch all this stuff and all this kind of stuff. I'm not going to get sucked into the hate and the discord and all this type of stuff, because I feel like that's just such a healthier way to do it. And this is why I asked the question earlier, do you think society has changed because of time? Because I think the other half of society that did change, half, whatever percentage it would be, they changed because they chose to be nuanced about it, right? And like, this is how you can get way ahead of the curve and like still be a great fan, I think, is to like, choose to be nuanced now.
Yeah.
In the moment where we're close in proximity and time to the sequel.
It's okay to change your mind. It's good to change your mind.
Yes, it's okay that you walked out of The Last Jedi and you didn't love the film. It's okay. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, now it's been a couple of years. Look back on it. Tell me the things that you loved about that movie.
Yeah. Right. Remember when Poe Dameron drifted an X-Wing in the opening of that movie?
That was
where,
dope.
Like, Fast and Furious Tokyo drifted it?
There's a lot of really dope stuff that happens in there. You know, we have talked about The Last Jedi endlessly on this show, and there's a ton about the movie that I actually despise, but like, everything that happens on Kijimi is joke? Dope.
Kijimi. Rise of Skywalker, you're talking about. Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker.
There we go.
This is what happens when Corey tries to use slang.
Kijimi!
Yes. Everything that happens on Kijimi?
Sure.
Kijimi?
I'm gonna let you figure this out.
Kijimi.
I'm going to let you figure this out.
I'm sure if you keep saying it, it'll sound more like a word.
The more I say it, the more I have doubt of how I'm saying it. It's Kijimi. That's what I'm going to say. Everything that happens on Kijimi.
You sure?
No, Eric, I'm not. I'm doubting everything. You don't need something to say.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that, like, you know, there are some people that will love the prequels and say they love the prequels because they love the droidica, and they love Rex and Fives and Wolf, and don't really know what Anakin and Padme are up to, and that's fine.
That's fine.
You know what I mean? Like that is what's so. It's the double edged sword of being a Star Wars fan, right? Like, there's so much to consume, and sometimes you get in a rut where it's like, the last year of Star Wars not been for me. I didn't like this show. Book fell flat, and I don't read the comics. But also, there used to be 3 years where you had nothing. So now it's like, okay, maybe next year you'll get 7 things you love. Maybe next year you'll get 2 things. Like, and that's why I do want to, you know, give a little promo to the Living Force book by John Jackson Miller, is that it is such a beautiful look at the prequel Jedi. Like, it's the Jedi Council. Like, hey, if you didn't love I don't like sand, or the pod race wasn't your thing, sorry, Charles. The pod race is great, to be clear. But if you want to know what's going on with Plo Koon and Sacy Tin and Yaddle and Oppo Ren Sissus, Wes's favorite Jedi, like, there are people that are like, we care about these characters and this era, and we know you do too, so here you go. We're going to make something, and then we'll do the next thing. And it is weirdly comforting that there's always something like that. And I think, to your earlier point, there's always a project that can sway somebody.
Yeah, but you have to be open to being swayed.
Yes.
I think that's the key.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the key. Yeah, you need to be ready to change your mind in any given moment. I think that's the proper way to be a fan.
Life's so good when you're open to changing your mind about stuff. Like, people that are like,
it's so
oh,
easy.
Well, you tweeted back 5 years ago and you hated this. I'm like, yeah.
I was wrong, dude.
And I changed my mind because I got a better idea.
I have grown since then.
Yeah, what?
Right?
Here's a question as we kind of start to wrap up. Why do we think that fandoms... Maybe it's more sci-fi fantasy fandoms, but I think a lot of fandoms are so reluctant to change. Is it a sign of weakness, pride?
Oh, like, man, that's a good question. What? I think fandom is inherently tied to choosing a side.
Yeah.
Ooh. Jeez.
Like, you're building up this castle wall around you of ideas that you've had forever, right?
Yeah.
And just trying to defend that and defend that and defend that, and if something comes out where it makes you think differently, and you're like, oh, wait a second, there's a crack in my wall, you know, that they keep trying to defend, like, no, can't be right, because I've had all these ideas for my entire lifetime, thought about this,
your identity,
is tied to it.
Yeah, so what happens when you're like, hold on a second, I'm wrong?
It feels like weakness.
Yeah, that should be the turning point that to teach everybody else. We'd be like, listen, you know,
no.
I thought about this for years. I thought the prequels were terrible for years, and then I went back and watched them. You know what? That core of that story is fantastic. Maybe because you had one central vision from George Lucas that entire time, which is probably a big part of that. And then the sequel, just went, you know, awry a little bit. But
what you're really saying is you must unlearn what you have learned.
All the text, baby.
Is that based in ego? Is it pride? Is it as simple as that?
I think
what's the human emotion that's tied to it?
I'll do another Star Wars quote. It's fear. Like, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate, right?
Mm.
Is that I am afraid of being wrong. I am afraid that I will be seen as weak. I am afraid that I have, as you said, Wes, I've built these defenses about what I love so much that if I admit that they are down, everyone that made fun of me was right.
Yeah,
and then I am lesser.
It's tied in a sense of self and identity.
It's like leaving the Church of Scientology. If you admit that it's fake,
let him cook.
All the years you put in believing one thing. I truly think this is an interesting about the human condition as a whole. Same reason people don't leave jobs is that if you've put all these years into one thing and you suddenly realize, I don't think this is good, you think, oh my God, did I waste my life?
Some cost for
this. Oh, your life, you look to the future. It's all in Star Wars, baby. It's all like George knew it. I think that's a very real thing. And the glorious thing about prequel love now is that everyone's like, my childhood, I loved this. Spent years loving it. Still love it now. And that's great. And it's like, and if I didn't love it, I watched the Clone Wars. I did this thing. I've changed my mind. And there's strength in changing your mind. Like, Corey, one thing I respect about you as a boss now is like, you always just want the best idea in the room. It doesn't matter if it wasn't your idea or if it completely contradicts what used to be your idea. If the best idea presents itself,
I honestly consider that to be my greatest strength. I will change my mind literally in a flip of a coin. You need to do is present the right evidence, and I'm on your side, 100%.
Yep.
I'm quick to apologize.
Yep.
I had an incident in last week in the hospital, actually, where I guess I was a little too serious the way I was texting some nurses, and somebody said, hey, we overheard this. It seemed like it was a little like hostile, maybe, I immediately apologize. I'm so quick to apologize. I'm quick to change my mind about stuff. And I think that is how you have to be as a good fan.
True.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Like, and I think it takes a lot of effort. It takes putting aside your pride, putting aside your ego. And it's hard. It's always freaking hard to be like, I did not like this thing, but I'm willing to hear the other side. This happened to Slack recently, too. We were talking about Sabine on the Ahsoka show. I don't love the fact that Sabine can use the Force. I don't love that. But there's a huge part of our community that is like, they love that. They're huge fans of that. And I'm absolutely willing to hear that. And I accept that. I might be wrong about that. I just need more.
Yeah.
I need to see more story happen, more evidence to happen. And I'll flip.
Yeah.
That's how you should be. It's so much more fun to be a fan like that.
It is. And I think the last thing you need in that equation, though, that you need to accept that you're in it for the long haul.
Yes.
So I think all four of us, and all of you listening, I would assume, we know we're Star Wars fans. Like, there's not a, if X happens, I'm done. Like, I'm in it for the long haul. It's the same thing in a relationship. Like,
that happens all the time, though.
All the time!
We're sassy those tweets.
Oh, my God.
And, oh, God. If
Star Wars is dead, they killed my childhood.
Dave Filoni doesn't do the Mandalorian and Grogu movie right, Star Wars is dead, and I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, why?
It's like,
why? You're so deep invested. It's so cost fallacy, dude. Like,
if you're into it, accept that there might be something coming down the pipe that you love. And if stuff coming down the pipe isn't doing it for you, some did at one point.
Also, if you hate everything, though, you need to look inward, my dude.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much.
Have you seen Dune 2? It's very good. but it's fun. I think at the end of the day, you know, I'm excited that they're popular. Yeah. I mean, I was so going to make the video. This will end on going to make this video about the prequels. It was so fun because a lot of the footage that I got that y'all will see is from Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, which one just we're at. And I was watching Ewan and Hayden come on stage. I was watching the Attack of the Clones panel, like just getting footage for B-roll or whatever. But I was immediately transported to this point of like, my God, I remember the energy and unabashed joy and acceptance. Like, Hayden cried. Like, Ewan,
it was really impressive.
Came out repeated times being like, he's never been. And now he's at conventions all the time. Like, these real people are affected by the love they receive. And it's just an amazing thing.
I think that's, in my opinion, the most impressive part. And I think that's kind of how we arrived on the title of that video. It's how our generation saved the prequels, is we saw how it affected real people. Mm. And we've now seen the full circle of, you know, some of these folks have been exiled from Hollywood and everything, like Hayden and Ahmed Best. And, you know, Ahmed has been very forward about, he was suicidal after The Phantom Menace. And I don't know. That makes me feel like I've done my part as a fan, I think, because I want people to feel lifted up by participating in this. I want them to feel like this was a worthwhile experience. And I am never going to forget seeing Hayden Christensen walk out on stage. That was incredible. To see that in person, too, was unbelievable. Like, just really emotional about it. And I want to see that happen for all the sequel actors, right? I mean, I think that is our duty as a fan, is to separate the people from the story and also try to love the story and find the things you do love. And I think that's what makes this a worthwhile experience. You can't just be angry all the time. There's no way to live your life. And
whether it's an actor, a creator, a friend, a family member, like, you will never regret making sure they know they're loved.
Yeah.
And appreciated. 100%. The little effort you give,
life is just too short for that, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so short. I mean, I think about that a lot in the hospital with patients. Like, it's just so short. Like, you know, don't let something goofy like this fictional universe that we love to be something that, you know, puts a more negative than a more positive energy into the world. Like, you know, that, I think that needs to be part of your fandom experience when you love something. It's not just liking Star Wars or liking the Force and all this stuff. It's like, you have a duty as a human being to be a good person.
Yep.
And I think that is what it means
You
know, to be a fan. And we did this with the prequels. I hope that we live long enough to see this happen with the sequels also. I think it will.
I think we will. I think we will. I think it's going in a beautiful direction. And I'll tell you what, to you guys and to everyone watching here, if you're here, we're not going to waste this moment to tell you that we love you and we appreciate you. And we hope that you feel this positivity and this love coming your way now instead of 20 years from now, instead of 25 years from now. Whenever you're watching us and you're hanging out with us at Youtini, feel loved, feel accepted, because that's why you're here. That's how we feel about the prequels. That's how I feel about you. And next week, that's how we feel about something else. But for right now, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for letting us chat with some of our best friends. We'll see you next week. May the Force be with you.